Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
Welcome to Reese on the Radio, folks. It is January the 20th, 2012, and we are back, and we are in full force. We've got audio clips, we've got scenarios, we've got breakdowns, we've got everything. Everything that you're not hearing in the news is right here live on Reese on the Radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. And trust me when I tell you, I just sent out an alert to everybody. You're going to learn something. You're not learning anywhere else. You're going to learn something today. You're not learning anywhere else in the world. Anywhere else in the world. The real scoop. That's right. The real scoop about Mary Ann. That's right. Just sit right back and you hear a tale, the tale of a faithful trip. That's right. ABC took that trip, and they're all over there at ABC. They're looking pretty bad today. They're looking pretty bad today, ladies and gentlemen. And when I say they're looking pretty bad over there at ABC, they're looking really bad. They are sitting up there. They know, I told you a long time ago, they were holding water for that man, Barack Obama. I told you that the whole deal had nothing to do but with trying to slander that man, Newt Gingrich. And boy, did he handle his business at that debate at CNN. You know he did. I don't care what you think and what you say. Truth of the matter is that Newt Gingrich came out swinging. And he didn't have to. He did not have to come out swinging at all. But if you disagree, I'd love to hear it. But let's just hear what it is that Newt had to say about Mary Ann. Because we played a little clip yesterday about what Mary Ann said about the open marriage. It was the bombshell of the entire interview. Newt Gingrich asked her for an open marriage. And now ABC, they were licking their chops before, but now they're licking their wounds today. Let's hear what old Newt had to say about the question.
And Mr. Speaker, I want to start with that this evening. As you know, your ex-wife gave an interview to ABC News and another interview with the Washington Post, and this story has now gone viral on the internet. In it, she says that you came to her in 1999, at a time when you were having an affair. She says you asked her, sir, to enter into an open marriage. Would you like to take some time to respond to that?
No, but I will. I think the destructive, vicious, negative nature of much of the news media makes it harder to govern this country, harder to attract decent people to run for public office. And I am appalled that you would begin a presidential debate on a topic like that. In here knows personal pain. Every person in here has had someone close to them go through painful things. To take an ex-wife and make it 2 days before the primary. A significant question in a presidential campaign is as close to despicable as anything I can imagine. My two daughters wrote the head of ABC and made the point that it was wrong, that they should pull it, and I am frankly astounded that CNN would take trash like that and use it to open a presidential debate.
As you noted, Mr. Speaker, this story did not come from our network. As you also know, it is the subject of conversation in the campaign. I get your point. I take your point.
John, it was repeated by your network. You chose to start the debate with it. Don't try to blame somebody else. You and your staff chose to start this debate with it. Let me be quite clear. The story is false. Every personal friend I have who knew us in that period says the story was false. We offered several of them to ABC to prove it was false. They weren't interested because they would like to attack any Republican. They're attacking the governor. They're attacking me. I'm sure they'll presently get around to Senator Santorum and Congressman Paul. I am tired of the elite media protecting Barack Obama by attacking Republicans.
Tebow when I heard that. Tebow! That's what I wanted to scream. I wanted to scream, Tebow! Came out of nowhere and ripped John King a new one. Now look, you know, that's what it is that they do. This is what the elite media does. You knew they were going to go after him. Newt knew they were going to go after him. And Newt was prepared. Did they expect him to be prepared? Did they expect him to have egg on his face? Did they expect him to be scared? Did they expect him to be nervous? Of course they did. Did they expect it to backfire on them? No, they did not. It did backfire on them. And you can go anywhere else in the world. You can go to any media outlet. They can't. They're saying it. Newt was outraged and Newt tears in and Newt is angered and all that other stuff. They try to make it a negative, but you know what Newt did. Newt took it to him. Newt said, bring it on. I'm ready for this. I'm ready. I'm ready for this. And what was he ready for? He was ready for the allegations from a bitter, angry, alleged criminal. That's right, alleged criminal. I said it. An alleged criminal. And his ex-wife, Marianne Gingrich. That's right. What was her intentions, ladies and gentlemen? Come on. What do you think her intentions were? Listen to this. She said it in that interview on Nightline with Brian Ross.
Marianne herself became the subject of an FBI sting investigation.
Oh, sorry, wrong one. Hold on, I apologize. Wrong one.
Marianne Gingrich is talking on television for the first time. A kind of January surprise for her ex-husband as he faces a crucial presidential primary in South Carolina this Saturday.
If he's running for president, he has answers to give.
You know his secrets. You know his skeletons.
I know some of them.
I know his secrets. I know his skeletons. That was the whole thing. The whole breakdown was about his demons, his skeletons, his dirty laundry. A bitter old woman. A bitter old woman who's angry. As I said yesterday, I told you this was an attack on Calista, on his current wife. Don't believe me? Listen to what she said about Calista.
Newt Gingrich lost his power as Speaker of the House and resigned from Congress in 1998. A year later, he asked for a divorce and, says Marianne, began to plan his campaign to run for president with Calista by his side, who is probably best known in this campaign for the hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry Gingrich bought for her at Tiffany's.
He did tell me once that she was going to help him become president.
What was your reaction to that?
Didn't look like help to me.
We asked the Gingrich campaign if he would appear tonight in our report, but they declined to make him available. Following Gingrich's strong denial tonight of the open marriage allegations, I checked back with his ex-wife, Marianne, who told me by phone she stands by her story. My story is the truth, she told me. If he had really changed, he could have stepped up tonight and said he was sorry, but he never has.
Yeah, he never said he was sorry. That's what it's about. He left her, he dumped her, and he never said that he was sorry. But, folks, I want you to pay attention to something else. You see, Newt Gingrich got divorced in 1999. He asked for a divorce in 1998. And I, ladies and gentlemen, have not only a theory, but I have proof. And it's in Brian Ross's report as to why Newt may have dumped this old hag. I got proof. If you watched it, I want you to be able to see what it is that I saw. I think you saw it too. But this, my friends, is the real reason why Newt got rid of that dead weight. That's right, she was dead freaking weight. She had her own little dirt, her own little dirty laundry. And I give credit to Brian Ross for bringing it out.
Marianne herself became the subject of an FBI sting investigation after meeting in Paris with a notorious arms dealer who was working as an undercover government source. The investigation was ultimately dropped, but a 1997 FBI document obtained by ABC News says Gingrich told the source that she was in a position to get things done in Congress and asked for $500,000 for herself up front as part of an alleged $10 million bribe to buy influence with her husband, the Speaker of the House.
This is all made up, fabricated, hogwash. This is a convicted felon talking with people that have nothing to do with me.
But you met with him.
I did meet with him.
Oh, yes, you did!
It would cost $10 million to get the job done. Did you ever try to sell your husband's position?
Heavens, no.
Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Newt Gingrich, Speaker of the House, prominent position, damn it. It's a damn big position. And his wife is out in France meeting with a Russian arms dealer, trying to get a $10 million bribe, asking for $500,000 up front. Oh, we can't believe that. It was unproven. Well, again, see, I go back to her claims about an open marriage are unproven. She just said it happened. But there are FBI documents that she met with the Russian arms dealer, and when asked, she says, Oh, no. That's just absurd. Did you meet with him? Yes, I did meet with him. You met with him? It can't be denied. So is it quite possible that maybe Newt Gingrich dumped her? Because she may have been detrimental to his career. Maybe she was trying to swindle some money and use his name as some influence. Everybody says that this woman is unstable. Come on, folks. Come on. Let's go to our intrepid crew. JC, Mary, why you bugging? Welcome, of course, to the show, as always. Now, am I out of whack here? Am I going crazy? You all saw the interview. Come on. Help me out here.
I saw the interview, and it is what it is. She put herself out there. She's a scorned woman. Try to get somebody to say sorry for hurting you and cheating on you on national TV in front of a live audience, and it did not work.
It's sure enough fitting. But come on, don't you think that my synopsis of the whole deal with the Russian arms dealer, doesn't that sort of like now sort of make some point, you know, it kind of makes a strong case for Newt Gingrich getting rid of this broad.
It does make a strong case of him, you know, trying to get rid of her. His advisors may have told him to get rid of her, like, hey, now, you know, she's under investigation. She's using your name, telling people, you know, arms dealers, convicted felons, in her words, that, you know, that he has some influence in the House and in Congress, and he can do something for them. It's so funny to me how she's like, oh yes, I did meet with him, but he's a convicted felon. People are listening to a convicted felon, but you met with him.
Yeah, what were you there for?
There was no problem. There was no problem with him being a convicted felon when you were meeting with him. You knew that, but
that's
you
right.
met with him anyway. So
yeah,
don't try to bring that crap up now.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're discrediting him, even though you met with him. You know, that's what I love to laugh. Yeah, did you meet with him? Yeah, I met with him. Like, yeah,
and
if
it's,
you...
It's so funny how she, like...
I'm listening.
Interview. How she had at one point called him like a Benson Hedges smoking train or whatever. Like, he smoked too much and these were the kind of cigarettes that he was smoking. She looks like she's smoked a few packs of cigarettes herself.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. I'm trying to
figure
out.
She looked like she hadn't slept in 12 years.
Yeah, of course she hasn't slept in 12 years. She's been seeking her revenge for 12 years. She's been trying to get her revenge for 12 years. Come on, JC. I know you got some words for this. Come on. What'd you think?
Well, she's still a woman scorned.
Yeah, but she's got
she's
a little
still
bit
a woman
of,
that was cheated on. She has a right to be.
Oh, come on. She's got some dirt on
not
her, man.
Not after 12 years. Come on. After 12 years, get over it.
She's a jealous woman, as most women are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
oh.
And she was cheated on.
Most women that are jealous are insecure, and that's what that jealousy stems from. They're insecure. They're not doing what they should be doing, or they're not with the person that they should be with. What?
Mary, if someone came along and snatched up your Prince Charming, and he goes on to try to achieve bigger and better things than he did, then when he was with you, you would hate them both until the day the earth stood still.
No, I would not, because if I truly loved that man, then I would want him to be happy, and I would realize that this obviously was not the person for me, and there will be someone else out there for me, and I will be for someone else. So, no.
You say that
I may
now.
Be mad. I may be mad in the beginning, but it's not going to take me 12 years. Oh, Lord, don't try to run back.
You're bugging.
You are absolutely bugging.
Stop it, Mary. Stop it.
I'm serious, though. Come on now. Be realistic. That is the way life is. Sometimes you get dealt a bad hand, and you move on. I'm not going to allow anybody else's actions to affect my life in such a detrimental way that I look like I haven't slept in 12 years, and I've smoked about 25,000 cartons of cigarettes in that 12 years. It's not going to happen.
You know, I understand you're talking about yourself. I understand that. But I'm just dealing with the subject matter. What do you get my theory that...
I get your theory, and I agree with your theory.
Oh, really? You do?
Is that she needs to get over herself.
Of course she needs to get over herself. There's no denying that.
You all do.
Yeah.
All women do.
All women need to get over
to the altar.
Okay, so tonight's going to be the woman bashing night.
No, it's not woman bashing. We're just
Friday. It's Friday. That's what men do. Start arguments with their women so they can go out.
No. Listen, we took it last night. You take it tonight.
Yeah, there it is. Exactly. We took it last
night. Oh, now we have to share. Get
yeah,
a cake.
Why not? This was actually, you know, what was so interesting about all of this, you know, as I said, that there were going to be attacks on Calista. Every other talk show that I watched today, they were doing the same thing over and over again, taking shots at Calista, because they were suggesting that Calista was in for an open marriage. that she was in for an open marriage, because you can't come up with any other summation than that from hearing the open marriage comment. You know, as we played last night, you know, this all was an attack on the woman who's going to be first lady. I'm going to play two clips. I'm going to play the clip that was featured last night, and then I'm going to play the clip that she said about Calista taking over, helping him become president.
I said to him, we've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
He wanted an open marriage?
Yeah, that I accept the fact that he has somebody else in his life.
And you said?
No. No. That is not a marriage.
That is not a marriage. And was she going after Calista?
Newt Gingrich lost his power as Speaker of the House and resigned from Congress in 1998. A year later, he asked for a divorce. And, says Marianne, began to plan his campaign to run for president with Calista by his side, who is probably best known in this campaign for the hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry Gingrich bought for her at Tiffany's.
He did tell me once that she was going to help him become president.
What was your reaction to that?
Didn't look like help to me.
We asked the Gingrich campaign if he would appear tonight in our...
It didn't look like help to me. Didn't look like help to me. That's a bitter woman. That's her taking shots at the new girl.
She's bitter because of all that jewelry Calista got. That's what she's bitter about.
Of course she's bitter. She talked about how much they had good times and everything. The daughters even came forward and said, look, divorce is a tough thing. But you know what? She just hasn't gotten over it yet. And it sounds like she hasn't gotten over it yet. But it did nothing. It did nothing to Newt Gingrich. And you know what? I'm going to give you, Mary, and Trish, and even Sullivan, I'm going to give you guys some credit. But because the way he handled John King last night in the debate, I got to play it again because it was a pure example of liberal media today. It was smart of Newt Gingrich to handle it the way he did. I loved his snarkiness towards John King. And I loved watching him squirm, John King. I loved watching him squirm.
And Mr. Speaker, I want to start with that this evening. As you know, your ex-wife gave an interview to ABC News and another interview with the Washington Post, and this story has now gone viral on the Internet. In it, she says that you came to her in 1999, at a time when you were having an affair. She says you asked her, sir, to enter into an open marriage. Would you like to take some time to respond to that?
No, but I will. I think the destructive, vicious, negative nature of much of the news media makes it harder to govern this country, harder to attract decent people to run for public office, and I am appalled that you would begin a presidential debate on a topic like that. In here knows personal pain. Every person in here has had someone close to them go through painful things. To take an ex-wife and make it 2 days before the primary a significant question in a presidential campaign is as close to despicable as anything I can imagine. My two daughters wrote the head of ABC and made the point that it was wrong, that they should pull it, and I am frankly astounded that CNN would take trash like that and use it to open a presidential debate.
As you noted, Mr. Speaker, this story did not come from our network. As you also know, it is the subject of conversation on the campaign. I get your point. I take your point.
John, it was repeated by your network. You chose to start the debate with it. Don't try to blame somebody else. You and your staff chose to start this debate with it. Let me be quite clear. The story is false. Every personal friend I have who knew us in that period says the story was false. We offered several of them to ABC to prove it was false. They weren't interested because they would like to attack any Republican. They're attacking the governor. They're attacking me. I'm sure they'll presently get around to Senator Santorum and Congressman Paul. I am tired of the elite media protecting Barack Obama by attacking Republicans.
That's nothing else that you can say. There's nothing else that you can say. Nothing left. Nothing left to say. Move on. The attempts to destroy the man's character by using his ex-wife are moot. They're moot. They're done. And I pray to God that it is evident in the South Carolina primary tomorrow.
Quite frankly, I think that the whole thing just helped his campaign.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, it backfired on them. It smacked them right in the mouth. Because what can you say to that? And it was amazing. And those are the words that you used last night after you watched it, because we were communicating back and forth during the when we were both watching it in different places, but it was amazing. It honestly was amazing the way he came out there and handled himself. And the fact that he got like a standing ovation, unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
I would have been like, in your face, Marianne.
Yeah, and it didn't matter what it is that she had to say after the fact. It did not matter what she had to say after the fact. It didn't matter what Brian Ross reported after the fact. It didn't matter at all. I thought it was brilliant. I thought that Newt Gingrich stood on his own. And when we come back, let's talk about some other things that Newt Gingrich... JC, I'm sorry, did you have something you wanted to add?
Actually, I have a Facebook comment. comment. This comes from Kenny. I'm not going to give her last name, but she says, blame the crazy woman. Now, that being said, it wasn't necessary for her to go public. Everyone knew that Newt was a philanderer. Really didn't need to know the sort of details. However, this is election time, and any and all dirt will get swept out. That's what happened in 2008. Remember? Crazy
yeah.
Pastors, crazy bombers, crazy Kenyan auntie, and all the other crazies.
Yeah, well, again, you don't start a presidential campaign by doing that. You never, ever do. You never, ever should. And it was dumb of them to even try to do it. When we come back, I got to talk about some other times when Newt Gingrich has gone after the media. And he's absolutely won. He kicked ass every chance he got. And there's one that barely people are talking about recently. But when I saw it, I thought it was amazing. But when we come back, we'll get into that. It's Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. We thank you for tuning in. We got plenty of stuff to come back to. We got to get into President Obama. We got to get into a mother who gives her 10-year-old son a tattoo. That was actually the scariest thing that I've... It's exactly where it is that we've come as a nation. Trust me, when you hear the story, if you haven't heard it already, you'll understand what it's about. It's Reese on the Radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. Send us an email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com and check out www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. It's Reese on the Radio.
Here's an amazing survival story with a happy ending. A hiker who was lost in a blizzard on Washington State Mount Rainier said he stayed alive by digging a snow tunnel and burning dollar bills for warmth. This was it. He had a bunch of $5 bills and $1 bills in his wallet, and he burned them all to stay warm. Burned them all. The good news? Today he was offered a job as President Obama's economic advisor. So, beautiful story. Wonderful story. Yeah. Well, President Obama was in Disney World today, where he unveiled his new plan to create jobs. He was joined by Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. But not Goofy. He had to stay behind to tend to his vice presidential duty. He couldn't go. Actually, you know why President Obama chose Disney World? It was the only place with longer lines in the unemployment office. So it looks better. Yeah. Just looks better. Well, Mitt Romney said today when he visits Disney World, he will lay off Tinkerbell and downsize the Seven Dwarfs to four. Lay off four dwarfs. I like fire and dwarfs. Well, here's a shocker. Rick Perry has dropped out of the presidential race. Apparently, America did not want a conservative, gun-happy, intellectually challenged governor of Texas for president. At least not again. Yeah, they didn't go for that, yeah. Well, this week, John Huntsman dropped out of the presidential race as well, but he endorsed fellow Mormon Mitt Romney, which is a huge relief to the Mormon community that they're united again, because between Huntsman and Romney, Mormons haven't been this divided, I guess, since Marie was a little bit country, and Donnie was a little bit rock and roll. Remember that? Remember that riff? Oh. Well, at the debates the other night, Mitt Romney said he is not an avid hunter, but he is happy to go along if someone invites him to go hunting, to which Newt Gingrich said, hey, maybe you can tag along with Dick Cheney. Yeah. Well, tonight there was the CNN primary debate with the four remaining candidates. It was kind of a change for Newt Gingrich. You know, usually when he's arguing with three people at once, it's his wife, his ex-wife, and his mistress. So that's where this is to be four. Hey, a world record was set this week in the men's 100-meter dash. It was set by the Italian cruise ship captain abandoning ship. Oh, man. You following this story? The captain of that Italian cruise ship that ran aground and tipped over is denying that he abandoned ship. He said what happened was, this is what he said. He said he fell off the boat and landed in the lifeboat. He fell off and landed in the lifeboat. Boy, is he lucky. To make matters worse, he then slipped and fell into a cab that took him home. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What are the odds of that? Fell into a lifeboat. Please. Isn't that the worst excuse you've ever heard? Alvin and the Chipmunks had a more plausible explanation in the movie Chipwrecked, okay? See, this reflects badly on the Italian people. My dad, anytime an Italian did something bad, my dad would always get upset. You know, an Italian guy who refuses to go down with the ship was the exact opposite of what this Italian guy is doing here on NBC. See, I am going down with this. I am still here. Good God, and the newly crowned Miss America says her big celebrity crush is Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. She said she would love to date him. Well, it couldn't come at a better time. I mean, the schedule's wide open, isn't it? They can watch the Super Bowl. They can watch. And Yahoo co-founder Jerry Yang has resigned from the company's board of directors. Yang has resigned. You know what this means? Ying gets promoted. You see, just keeping that delicate balance of yin and yang at any one time. Well, this is pretty gruesome. This has been in the news here in Los Angeles for the last couple of days. Some body parts were found near the Hollywood sign. Body parts.
Yeah.
Turns out they used to belong to Joan Rivers. Apparently had a lot of work. Apparently she had a lot of... And in New York City, a subway car had to be evacuated after they discovered a possum in one of the cars. A possum. They captured the possum and killed him, and now Donald Trump is wearing it on his head. Yes, sir. Here's another big story. Porno producers here in Los Angeles are threatening to leave Los Angeles if they are forced to make the actors wear condoms. You know something, while we're at it, why don't we force them to take acting lessons, too? You know what I'm saying? Be right. Please. Bing bong. Hey, lady, did you order the large pizza with extra sausage?
Yes, I did, but I have no way to pay for it.
Thank you. That was my all-purpose.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Well, in USA Today, Paula Deen says she has type 2 diabetes. The probable cause? Paula Deen, okay? You can't eat sticks of butter. Anyway, you know 33% of Americans are now obese? Isn't that unbelievable? 33%. In fact, in the Midwest, cows are sneaking up on people and tipping them over. That's not bad. And Paris Hilton has announced she is coming out with a second album in the next few months. Apparently, this album is being targeted at people who didn't hear the first album. So they're going for it. And a woman here at Burbank, right up the street, we were shocked. Our bucolic neighborhood, which was tarnished, when a woman went into the McDonald's here and offered to have sex for chicken McNuggets. You've heard of crack hoe? This is a snack hole. That's the real thing. That's the real
thing. It's Reese on the radio. We're back. The number is 347-308-8701. And most people, you know, they can say a whole lot of things about Newt Gingrich. And I like to say personally that Newt Gingrich is a patriot. That's what it is that I believe. The reason why is because he's winning the debate with the media. And the media has done everything they can to destroy him as a Republican. As I always say, because they're holding water for President Obama. In the next hour, I'm going to prove that. I'm going to prove that they're holding water for the President of the United States. I know that they're holding water for him, and it's evident in everything it is that they do. And you can say what you want about Newt Gingrich. You can say what you want about the affairs. You can say anything you want about him and, you know, the whole Marianne issue and leaving his wife. You can say anything you want. But the bottom line is that every time they attack him, he seems to be kicking their butt. He seems to be kicking their butt at every swing. They swing and a miss. Now, some of you may have not heard the recent. In fact, the day that the story came out about Marianne, and other networks would not report it because they didn't want to give ABC the burn. So NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, they didn't want to give ABC the burn on the story. So they kind of kept it away. They kept going after Newt Gingrich and the food stamp president comment he made about Barack Obama. So this is an exchange he had on the Today Show. And who knows why he would go on that network when it's clear that that station, and trust me, I will show you, the same people on the, so they get in your knee and grind this. But here's an exchange with Ann Curry. Now, before I play it, let me set it up. When you're a news reporter and you want to make a point, you make a point based on facts. That's what a news reporter does. When you ask questions of the subject, you do it based on your own facts. You take factual evidence and you ask that individual, the subject, whether or not, based on your research, that the claim you're making is true. You don't go to somebody's op-ed piece in a newspaper to make your point. Remember, if you're the news reporter and you're trying to get your subject to answer a question, be it based on the evidence that you researched, not somebody's op-ed piece. But listen to this exchange with Ann Curry of the Today Show on NBC with Newt Gingrich. And you tell me whether or not it was warranted.
You've been increasingly stepping up your characterization of President Obama as a food stamp president. Interestingly, in the lead up now to South Carolina, quoting a New York Times editorial, in South Carolina, where a Confederate flag still waves on the front lawn of the state capitol, largely because of the efforts of the state GOP, it remains good primary politics to stir up racial animosity and then link it to President Obama. Are you intentionally playing the race card to win votes?
You know, modern liberals are just, I think, frankly, totally off the deep end. When conservatives care about the poor, and conservatives offer ideas to help the poor, and conservatives suggest that the poor would rather have a paycheck than a food stamp, the very liberals who have failed them at places like the New York Times promptly scream racism because they have no defense for the failure of liberal institutions which have trapped poor children in bad schools, trapped them in bad neighborhoods, trapped them in crime-ridden situations. Liberal solutions have failed.
Point
taken.
And
their only answer is to yell racism and hide.
And you notice that every time that a liberal journalist can't argue, they always say point taken. If I play the John King exchange with Newt Gingrich, he says the same line, point taken, point taken, point taken. You know what that means? It means that he was right. You listen to John King, and when Newt starts talking about the liberal media, he immediately goes, point taken, point taken. Point taken is you can't argue it. The point's taken because you can't dispute it. When conservatives start talking about the poor, liberals start attacking them at the way that they talk about the poor because they don't take the liberal stance. Because liberals won't say, yeah, we need to get them more money. We need to get them more programs. No, we need to get them jobs. No, we need to get them educated. No, we need to get them to fend for themselves. Yes, your liberal policies have failed. Yes, you've trapped them in poor neighborhoods. Yes, you've trapped them in these horrible situations. Your policies have failed miserably every time. Every time. And when they've got no defense, they go point taken. You want to know why? Because they want you to shut up. They don't want you to continue. They say point taken. They interrupt you because they don't want you to make your point. They say point taken, point taken. Okay. You're right about that. That's why they say point taken. And my question is Newt Gingrich, is he winning the debate on attacking liberal media? Is he winning the debate? Because I think that he's been making strong points. And I think he's kicking their butt. Here, there, and everywhere. Mary, what do you say?
I have to agree with you. It's so crazy that I'm agreeing with you. I cannot believe that I'm even saying that. But I have to agree with you. I think that he is choosing his words wisely and making good decisions, and he is kicking ASS.
But he's bold. He's bold. We have not heard this boldness since the Reagan era. We've not heard this personal attack on the media in such a bold way. I'm not saying that the media is going to retreat. I know they're not. But I think that every time they challenge him, he kicks their rear end every time. It's that it's failed over and over again. No matter how hard they try, they lose in going after him. That's the reason why I think they want to get rid of him. I think that's why it's a personal attack on Newt Gingrich. They need to get rid of this guy because he challenges them. He challenges them at every road. Every road they come at him, they do it. And I think he's going to win this debate. I think people are going to see the light. JC?
Well, I think you are to a degree dead on. However, the point that I think that you're missing is who is actually going to be watching the Republican debate. Certainly not Democrats or liberals.
Oh, but they're all talking
certainly not,
about
certainly
it
not the ethnic voter, the minorities. those that they're trying to reach out to desperately now. I mean, he's scoring points, bringing out the liberal media for what they really are, and that is one-sided. But it's like, who's watching? And the only ones that are reporting on it are the small media outlets that also look to point out the liberal media for its one-sidedness.
Yeah, but I think that's a winning. I think that's a winning point for Newt Gingrich. It doesn't matter whether or not it's a small amount of liberals or a little bit amount of liberals. I think that people are, you know, had they not known that Newt Gingrich was going to attack them, I know that more liberals tuned into CNN because they knew that CNN was going to attack him on that Marianne Gingrich interview.
Having said that, the liberals that are actually going to watch CNN for that debate are liberals that are voter savvy. And I think, again, much like it was in 2008, the key to this year's election is not going to be with the savvy voter.
You really don't think so? You don't think that the voter, after what we went through for three-plus years with President Obama, you don't think that the voter is now becoming more savvy? You don't think that they're all sitting back going, maybe we made a mistake? Or if not...
No, not at all. Not at all. I think that they initially came out to vote A because he's considered a black man. And they wanted to be a part of that history that put the first black man into the White House. I'm pretty certain not even a week after his presidency, not one of them picked up a newspaper or looked up a website that even really knew what his platform was.
No, I don't agree with that. Let me tell you why. Maybe not a week after. You're probably right, a month or two, maybe even 6 months after. I don't think anybody moved on trying to find out what President Obama was doing as a policy. I think that the momentum died once he was elected. They saw the inauguration. Everybody was on their inauguration high, you know, had the inauguration hangover.
And
then
they buy new outfits like they were going to church on Sunday on Sundays. It was a big, big party, especially for Black America. It was a huge party. I had friends that had taken days off of work and had left days in advance to get down to Washington D.C. to sit in that cold plaza, and they could have watched it at home. And they had miserable times. They all come back with the flu and illnesses and sickness and pickpocketed and carried on, and it's like, okay, we got him there. That was the one punch. The second punch came with the midterm elections. Nobody went out and vote, no matter how much Obama begged. We need this, because if we lose this Congress and this Senate, then from here on out, it's going to be stalemate, and we're going to be up against a brick wall, and none of our policies are going to get passed. Well, if you're not on the ballot, we're not going out to vote, and that's exactly what happened. And those are the same people. Those are the same people that really aren't too into politics unless it's something that's popular.
Well, you think that they were voting for a rock star, and they didn't care much about politics. They were more into the history making of being a president. This is what it is that I was talking about yesterday, about the diminishment of that office. That
right.
It became a celebrity-driven sort of election, and it wasn't about politics. It wasn't about government. It wasn't about whether or not he was going to do great things for this country. It was an ideological vote.
Well, I mean, not only that, but he gave a good speech. He talked a good game.
Well, I don't think that that's going to happen this election. I think that the people who are out there who are going to vote, and there are going to be plenty. I promise you that this voter turnout is going to be low in the communities
that are
so high.
2008 voter turnout is going to pale in comparison to this one.
It's going to dwarf. I mean, this election, this election for minorities and young people is going to dwarf, completely dwarf anything that happened in 2008. And, you know, it's sad that that's going to be the case, but I would like to see those people go out there and vote their conscience, no, pardon me, vote their policy versus what it is that they think is right. And a lot of these people didn't know what they thought. They didn't know
what
they
were voting for initially.
Oh, they had no clue. They had no clue.
No.
No clue whatsoever. And this is a class.
And these are the same people that you expect to be watching CNN. Watching CNN or Fox or any of them for that matter. I mean, come on. When was that debate on one last night?
Yeah, it was on last night.
Yeah, well, so was the game on BET.
I hate that show. It's so stupid.
But I mean, it's the truth. Yeah, so was Basketball Wives.
No, oh, come on. Are you telling me more people were interested in, well, they probably were. I haven't seen the ratings there. JC, there's a website that gives you cable ratings. I don't know if it's called TV Nation or something like that. That gives the ratings for cable news and all that other stuff. Can you see if you can find out what the ratings was for the CNN debate last night? And we'll take a break real quick, and we'll see whether or not we can come up with the numbers. JC, see if you could find out what the numbers were for the debate, because the Fox debate that happened just days ago, that got 5.3 million on basic cable, which is a huge number for a debate. I'd love to see what the comparative number was for the CNN debate, whether or not it was higher or lower. So if you can find that out, let me know. There's a TV website that gives those numbers. So if you can find that when we come back from the commercial break, and see whether or not we can come up with that. We'll come back. We'll come up with those numbers. I want you to stick around, folks. If you're out there, we're going to talk about what JC revealed to me is Obama's secret code to win back the black vote. I didn't see it at first, but JC enlightened me. You're going to be amazed.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand. I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is. But Bob is going to force our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birth.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
All right, guys, we're back. It's Reese on the radio at Blog Talk Radio. And the number is 347-308-8701, and we're back, and we're live. I'm checking out now what the numbers were for the debate last night. It was, for the 19th, they didn't do well. They didn't do great, according to these numbers. CNN actually ended up in second. I'm trying to read these numbers because it's a little confused what exactly the debate was, and I'm still scrolling down. What the heck is it? What is the debate? Oh, there it is. Southern GOP debate didn't look too according to these numbers, but it still came behind. Oh, no, actually it was number one. At 5.8. That's actually a pretty good number. So it was number one, and it did fairly well. It did incredibly well. It says at 8 o'clock, it pulled in, the O'Reilly factor still pulled in 2.3. At 8 o'clock when the debate began, that the GOP debate pulled in 4.3. And it did better in the 9 o'clock hour than it did in the 8 o'clock hour. That went up to 5.6. So I guess because of the Newt Gingrich response to John King, then got up there. I wholeheartedly believe that Newt may have very well saved the network. Listen. Let me say this. I've only got a couple of minutes before the top of the hour. So I'm going to take this 2 minutes to say this. Newt Gingrich needs to be the president of the United States. I don't care what you think about Mitt Romney. I don't care about what you think about Rick Santorum. And I like Rick Santorum. He's grown on you. But Newt Gingrich needs to be the president of the United States. We need somebody who's bold. We need somebody who really, really gets politics. And we also need somebody who's a conservative. He may not be a truest conservative, because he understands history. And for us to get back to what's important to this country, the things that are most important in this country, we need to get a president who is there and trying to keep the of our union, to keep the true meaning of who it is that we are as a capitalist society. Mitt Romney is not the guy. He will never be the guy. Newt Gingrich is the man we need. He's bold. He's honest. In some cases, he can be a bit cruel. But when you have a president who can go out there and deal with the media, deal with the people who are trying to be one-sided, he goes out there and he is on the attack, and he is here to protect this country. It's a great line he said. Andrew Jackson had one thing about his enemies. You kill them. And there are plenty of enemies out there to destroy this country. And Newt Gingrich understands the importance of keeping America, America. Not American. Keeping America, America.
is that I want. Is I want America to stay America.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little man who was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And we're back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. The email is reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Send us an email if you've got something to say, you've got an opinion. We'd definitely love to hear from you. So Barack Obama was in New York yesterday, and he couldn't stop talking about him at the Apollo Theater. It was another fundraiser. He hasn't been into New York to, you know, help out any of the strife in Harlem or in Brooklyn or in the Bronx. He was damn sure there to collect the money, though, wasn't he? Wasn't he? But people can't stop talking about Barack Obama and his singing. Barack Obama can carry a tune. He can carry a tune. I'm still trying to figure out why anybody would still support this man when he ignored the African-American community for so long. He did. I mean, don't you remember what Maxine Waters said? Why isn't he in any black neighborhoods? We need help, too. And the first time he shows up in a black neighborhood, he's there to collect money? There's no money there, but he went there to collect money. It was a fundraiser for his reelection. And I'm asking, what was he really there for? What was he really there for? Well, JC, the producer, has a very, very good synopsis. And a very good, I think he analyzed this better. Good, I have to give him credit. I'm not taking credit for this. As a good host, I have to give credit where credit is due. And he definitely picked up on something. He picked up on something I didn't see. I don't think anybody else saw it. But when I listened to it, I really got it. I really, really got it. It's pretty profound. It was one of those things. How do I put it? It was one of those things that made me go, "Oh, okay, that makes sense." And you know those things that you experience in your life, and you say, that makes sense. This was one of those things that made sense to me after JC enlightened me. But let's just play what happened.
I want to thank the incredible performers this evening. One of my favorites, India Arif, in the house. There she is. I love India. And then to know that Reverend Al Green was here. So in love with you. Those guys didn't think I would do it. I told you I was going to do it. And the Sandman did not come out.
Oh, he should. He should come out. Sandman should come out. Drag your ass right out of the White House. But nonetheless, let me tell you what it is. I'm going to let JC say it himself. I'll let JC say it himself. So the Reverend Al Green is in the audience, and I don't know whether or not it's purposeful, but Barack Obama decides to sing this song, and he says, you know, I'm so in love with you. But it's the subtlety of it all. And let me tell you what. So JC gives me a call late early today, and he says, "Did you hear the Barack Obama thing?" I was like, "Yeah, man, I don't want to talk about that. Man, I'm just not promoting this guy. There's no way I'm going to do it. I can't." He goes, "Come on, man, you didn't see what that was? Go theater." And JC, go on. What did you say?
I said it was a rallying cry.
Yes, it was. It was clearly the rallying cry. And the rallying cry was?
I love the song itself. Let's stay together.
That's right. That's right. Here it is.
Famous by
Barack
Tina Turner.
Obama singing to a black crowd the lines to a song, Let's Stay Together. Telling his black folks, come on, let's stay together. It was a rallying cry in code. That's what it was. The whole thing was in code. Come on, Negroes. That's what he was singing to you. Come on. He's telling you, I'm so in love, you niggas.
Also made famous by Tina Turner.
He was telling those black people. That's right, but he's telling them, I'm so in love with you.
With Reverend Al Grits in the audience.
That's right. Grits. Al Grits Green.
Al Grits.
I'm so in love with you, niggers. Whatever you want me to. Yeah, whatever you want me to. It's all right with me.
And the last time he came close to Harlem, if you remember, the last time he came close to Harlem was the the 9/11 memorial.
Whose memorial?
The 9/11 memorial.
Oh, that was
Wow.
That was Lower Manhattan, dude.
yeah, that's as close as he's ever come. I bet you he couldn't tell you what a collard green out of what's that dump down in Harlem?
Oh, Sylvia's.
You can tell you what a collard green out of Sylvia's tastes like.
You know, it's so funny because he shows up at the Apollo Theater getting money. This guy has done nothing but hinder this country in such a way for its, I guess what I would like to say is the growth of this country. He's hindered it so badly. And the liberal media, as I said earlier in the show, they can't help but hold water for this guy. They can't help but do it. And they're doing it. Oh, man, it's so disgusting. The way that they're doing it. Listen to Ann Curry, talking to Newt Gingrich.
You've been increasingly stepping up your characterization of President Obama as a food stamp president. Interestingly, in the lead up now to South Carolina, quoting a New York Times editorial, in South Carolina, where a Confederate flag still waves on the front lawn of the state capitol, largely because of the efforts of the state GOP, it remains good primary politics to stir up racial animosity and then link it to President Obama. Are you intentionally playing the race card to win votes?
You know, modern liberals are just, I think, frankly, totally off the deep end. When conservatives care about the poor, and conservatives offer ideas to help the poor, and conservatives suggest that the poor would rather have a paycheck than a food stamp, the very liberals who have failed them at places like the New York Times promptly scream racism because they have no defense for the failure of liberal institutions which have trapped poor children in bad schools, trapped them in bad neighborhoods, trapped them in crime-ridden situations. Liberal solutions have failed.
Point
and their
taken.
Only answer is to yell racism and hide.
Point taken. Point taken. Now, if you
not
don't
so
think that today's show is holding water, if you exactly, and if you don't think that the liberals over at the Today Show, NBC, as we like to call it, the now Barack's channel, NBC, you don't think they're holding water? Look at their response to Barack Obama in Harlem. He's done nothing for the hood. Nothing for the hood. Look at they respond to this.
President Obama was in New York City on Thursday doing a little fundraising, and during a stop at the Apollo Theater with the legendary singer in the audience, the president broke into the Al Green hit, Let's Stay Together. Check it out.
So in love.
The man
wow.
has a voice.
Going.
He's doing it. I know. And to do it in front of Al Green, which is...
Yeah, he got to hit that note.
That's
I mean,
a real
I,
high
he could be on The Voice.
Really very
Sign
good. And
that,
so we decided to get a little creative,
That's
right?
That's right. Our editors actually did, and they did a little mashup between a little Obama and a little Al Green. Let's take a look.
To work with.
We obviously have too much time on our hands.
Disgusting. Said it right. You got too much time on your hands. Your editors are back there re-editing Obama singing with Al Green. You got too much time on your hands. You're a news network. You're a news show. But you can't help but to hold water for that man. That's what it is that you're doing. That's what it is that you do. Mary, Mary, why you bugging? Come on. Am I out of mind here? You going to tell me that the Today Show isn't on their knees gratifying this president?
Everybody's trying to help him secure his next job.
Well, if that's not the job of the press.
No. Listen, he was trying to secure his next position, which is obviously going to have to be an artist because he's probably not going to win the presidential election. That's
well,
what he was doing. He was putting his additional talents out there.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not going to be too far from New York City living in Old Saybrook, Connecticut. That's just a shot
no,
down 95.
I'm kidding. I think that, first of all, I do think that he has a great voice. When I heard it, I was like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, I mean, that's me.
Need a cigarette after, Mary?
What?
Did you need a cigarette after?
Yes, I did. Every time you play it, I'm like, wow. Hello, Obama. Anyway, so, I mean, I think he is trying to use that as a ploy to get more votes and to keep the people voting for him that probably would not have gone out to vote for him again this time like they did last time. So
well,
I do believe that it's all a ploy.
Let me ask you this question, guys. Do you think that Barack Obama or that politicians in the Democratic Party believe that all it takes for you to vote for them is to just show up in your neighborhood? Now, understand what I'm saying here. I believe that the African-American community is very, very caught up in celebrity. That's my personal belief, that you have a cultural significance if you are a celebrity. And Barack Obama's celebrity, Bill Clinton's celebrity in recent years, that if you show up in a particular town or in a neighborhood within the Black or Latino community, that celebrity will push you over the top to get their vote. Like, in other words, they say, oh, he came to the hood. Oh, he's coming to the hood all the time. He's here every other year. You know, that sort of celebrity that drives sort of the, quote-unquote, the political spectrum of the African-American or the Latino community. Do you believe that that might be true?
Yes.
Wow. A simple yes.
But it's
really
sad, because that should, this is the sad part about the whole thing. That really should not be the case. And if you are not well-versed or well-educated on anything about anybody other than, you know, oh, they came to my neighborhood, or, you know, oh, they made an appearance, you shouldn't be out there voting based on what someone looks like, if somebody came to your hood or not, if somebody, you know, flew by and waved at you. I mean, you shouldn't be voting on those bases. You should be voting on the basis of what you think is going to be the best for you and for this country. And people are just simply lazy, and they're not educating themselves. It's easy to get caught up in that whole celebrity thing, or, you know, for at the time. But then, okay, so you're all caught up, all these people are coming out to see you, you're great, all these people are clapping for you, you have a standing ovation, you're, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. And by 10 o'clock tonight, those people done forgot about you. You know, those people not so much have forgotten about you, but they're not looking anything up. They don't care what you stand for. They don't know what you stand for. All they know is that when you came through to see them. And it's false.
I couldn't agree with you more. What I see, and this is the part why I'm so appalled at this whole Apollo Theater thing, was, you know, no one in Harlem can honestly say that any one of Barack Obama's policies has helped that community. To go there to collect a check from the community, I think, is a travesty. And no one even touched up on that. No one in the Black community criticized him for that. And I think in trying to keep him in office, to ignore the horrible policies of the president, that is even more disgusting.
It's disturbing that you think that because someone may share your ethnic background that they have something in common with you. Barack Obama does not have anything in common with the people in Harlem. There is nothing. I mean, poor people, or not saying that all people in Harlem are poor or whatever, but, you know, underprivileged people or people that are, you know, struggling.
Hello?
Or whatever. This man doesn't have anything in common with these people. Reese.
Those communities. Am I still breaking up?
Check your audio, because you're breaking up bad again.
Okay. How about now? Am I any better?
Yes, that's better. And I didn't hear anything that you said.
No, what I was saying was, what I find that I think is so troubling within these communities, that only a very, very small amount of them, I am willing to say that no more than 6% of minority communities, with probably the exception of Asians or Middle Eastern or Indian for that matter, I think that African Americans and Latinos, only 6% of those populations truly understand the issues. I think that a major majority of those populations know nothing about the issues. I think that they're completely dumbfounded when it comes to the issues. And that's why I think the celebrity plays such a role in that other margin that gets involved in politics. I don't think they know or care.
And I think you're right. I don't think that they care either, because if they did, they would, you know, go back and try to educate themselves on what is really the issue at hand, which is the state of our country, you know, because it's not working. It's broken, and it needs to be fixed. And we need to find the best fit to fix it.
Well,
but
he's not going to be the guy.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm listening.
I can say that politics is very difficult to wrap your head around. Some people have it in them. Some people don't. If you're not passionate about it, it's very, very hard to wrap your head around. It honestly is. So for the everyday average person, it's difficult to, because you really have to dedicate yourself. It's almost like a full-time job to try to figure out what is really going on, because there's so many ins and outs of everything, and there's so much different information in so many different places. You don't know, you know, what to believe. You don't know, you know, if you go to websites to look up information, what you have to figure out what's reputable, what's not reputable. And then if you're, you know, dealing with issues, you know, bills that are going to be passed, there's research that you need to do into those things that a lot of people just don't have the time to do, or they don't want to do because it's just too much. It's easier for them to say, oh, well, great, you look good, you're a sharp dresser, you can sing, you know, you're soulful, you got my vote, but you can't expect anything to change. Now you've gone and given the country your vote, and there's nothing changing, so that's not working.
It never ever has worked. It's kind of sad, but, you know, it's never ever going to work. And, you know, as Newt Gingrich so eloquently pointed out, is that these liberal policies have destroyed these communities. They've hurt them badly, and they're never ever going to get it. We'll take a break. When we come back, look, I've got a problem with tattoos. And I don't know, Mary, whether or not you have any. I don't know whether or not JC has any. Don't tell me now. When we come back, I have to explain to you why I have a problem with tattoos and how I think that it's destroying our culture.
Oh, my God.
And why it's destroying, and why I think it's destroying who we are as human beings. Tattoos, when we come back, it's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare,
ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio. We're back. Number's 347-308-8701 right here on Blog Talk Radio. / Reese on the Radio. And, look, I've gone through this personal life. I thought about getting a tattoo once. It was not too long ago, somewhere around 2007, maybe. Maybe even later than that. I don't know. But I thought about it. I was gonna get a very, very corny tattoo on my shoulder. Probably because I was influenced by everybody getting a tattoo. And I was at a party and they were, you know, doing tattoos and everything, and I was thinking about doing it. And I had a couple. That's the most I'm gonna say. But, you know, of course, you know, cooler heads prevailed. Now I thought about it. And now, where you go, they're everywhere. It doesn't matter, no matter who it is you meet, no matter who it is you see, somebody's got some ink. And it's people who you don't even suspect. I've seen some girls especially who don't even look the tattoo type. Very docile, very to themselves. They're not extroverts, very quiet. And I've seen them with tattoos. And asking myself, I was like, that, what, you? I said, what is that about? Well, I love tattoos. I think they're so cute. You know? Whatever the reason. Tattoos used to have some sort of meaning. Usually, you know, you're in the military, you get a tattoo. You're in a biker gang. You know, it's a very, very underground thing. But now it's very, very popular. So what? But it's popular with the wrong kind of people. Because now girls want to do it because, you know, they think it's cute. It's like a fashion accessory. The girl gets a little tattoo on the hip. All right, whatever. Girls getting tattoos on, you know, maybe on near the belly button or something, you know, whatever. And then the back tat, you know, the tramp stamp, that went nuts. All these girls, everybody's got a tattoo on the lower back. And I love that they started calling it the tramp stamp, started diminishing or degrading that little practice. Not so many girls are getting it anymore. And I know now people are saying it's easier to get a tattoo removed. My biggest problem with the tattoo, these people who are putting their mates, their significant other, putting that on their body. You want a surefire way to end a relationship? Put something permanent with that person's name on your body. You want to put Shauna on your arm? You're not going to last another year. And then you'll be explaining it to the new girl. You want to put Barry on your upper back? Barry and Shauna forever. Barry's not sticking around. Soon as you put that on your body, especially when you put a person's name. Now, I'm not saying your loved ones, you know, like your child, maybe even your passed away member of your family. You know, you want to put a member of your family who passed away. You want to put your mother's name or, you know, your mother passed and okay, fine. And, you know, I guess that's all right. But these girls with the butterflies and the flowers and the tattoos of tribal designs. No, people think about them. Jesus Christ. I mean, Justin Bieber, for crying out loud, has got Jesus Christ on his left calf. How do I know that? Why do I know that? Nonetheless, everybody's got a tattoo. Is this to make you more butch? To make you tough? I don't know. But there's a clear example that this is getting out of hand. Listen to this news story reported on ABC in New York about a mother in Georgia.
A mother in Georgia now charged with child cruelty after she allowed her 10-year-old son to get a tattoo. Chantira Napier was arrested Tuesday. She says her son Jaquan wanted a tattoo in memory of his big brother who died in a car accident. So Napier took Jaquan to get his brother's jersey number tattooed on his arm. When officials at Jaquan's school saw the ink, they called police. The mother says she had no idea she was breaking the law.
So my son came to me and said, "Mom, I want to get a tattoo with Malika on it, rest in peace." What do I say to a child that want to remember his brother?
It represents my brother.
I always thought that if a parent gives consent, then it's fine.
Well, in Georgia, the state law says it forbids anyone but a doctor to tattoo a person younger than 18. The tattoo artist is also under investigation.
So a mother in Georgia gives her 10-year-old son a tattoo of her dead son's jersey number on a 10-year-old. Has it gone too far, ladies and gentlemen? Of course it has. What does a 10-year-old need with a tattoo? You want to remember your brother? Get a life-size poster in the room. Keep memorabilia. I don't know. A key ring? He's not going to remember his brother if it's not tattooed onto his bicep? And she asked that stupid question. My son asked me whether or not he could get a tattoo to remember his brother. As a parent, what do you do? Say no, stupid. Tattoos are not for 10-year-old boys. Dumbass. What are you going to tell your son? No. We don't know how to use that word now? No. if you get older and you want to get your brother's tattoo or his jersey on you when you're 18 or older, absolutely, son. You do what it is that you want to do and you spend the money. But I'm not going to go out and go get you a tattoo. What do you need a tattoo for? You can't remember your brother any other way? You can't remember your brother? I mean, come on, he was just here a month ago. What are you going to, you think you're going to forget? Are we so preoccupied with everything else in the world we forget a brother who passed away? Did mom get a tattoo too because she thought that she'd probably forget him? I need that reminder every day. What's going on? Now, I don't know about the rest of you folks. I don't know who has and who doesn't have a tattoo. I know a couple of my friends do. I always scold them about it. You know, then they'll say something tragic. What are you talking about, man? That's my mom, man. That's my mom. My mom passed away 2 years ago. And you're not going to remember mom? You're not going to remember your mother who gave birth to you? I know who my mother is. I don't need a marked up on my body to remember that she existed. By the way, you don't get into heaven with a tattoo, by the way. But that being said, what's going on? What is with people getting tattoos for the dumbest of reasons? And I know a lot of people out there have them. You know, I mean, I guess it's a lost cause. But see, this is the part of our culture that's completely diminishing. Now there's a 10-year-old boy walking around with a tattoo and a mother being charged. They're even going after the tattoo artist. And God bless the authorities. God bless the school. Jaquan, what the hell is that on your arm? It's a tattoo of my brother. He died in a car accident. I want to make sure that I remember him. Hi. Police? Yeah. Can you believe some mother put a tattoo on a 10-year-old? Yeah, I think you need to go on down to that house and go talk to this woman. And as ignorant as this son of a brain surgeon was, I didn't know that it was against the law to give a 10-year-old. You didn't know? What, are there a bunch of 10-year-olds walking around in your neighborhood? There are a bunch of 10-year-olds walking around your neighborhood with tattoos? You don't think that this is going to influence other little stupid kids to want to do the same thing? What's this JC wrote? What was that? Hold on. JC, I got to bring you in. I didn't understand that. Say that again. What was it about Cass?
Nirma, when Cass hit me with that when my mom passed?
Right.
Remember the Dolores with the wings?
Right.
And you had a fit?
Well, I had a fit about what?
When I let Cassie get the tattoo at 16?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Because
uh-huh.
She's a 10. And you know why I had a fit. Because she's a young girl. She doesn't know whether or not. What if her body develops differently and that is unattractive? She's too young to know whether or not that's a good thing to do to her body. Now, I don't know Mary. Mary, do you have tattoos?
Yes, I have
two. How did
I guess?
Two.
I have two, and I wish and I regret getting them. It was so silly, but
no.
I have them. Yeah.
Will you reveal what they are? Can I take a guess?
You want me to reveal what they are? Why do you want me to reveal what they are? We're not supposed
to. I said, before you reveal
yet.
What they are, I've known you
go
for a short
ahead,
time
take
now.
Take a guess. Have at it.
Hey,
Have some fun. It's Friday night. Have some fun.
Okay, you know what? I am just going to say, can you reveal on this show where they are?
Yes, they are both. One is on the outer part of my left ankle, and the other one is on the inner part of my left ankle.
So you have two tattoos on the inside and outside of your left ankle.
Correct.
Sorry, ankle.
Yeah, ankle, not ankle.
Mary.
Why you bugging? Just want to know. Do you care to reveal what those tattoos are? Please, let's start with the inner ankle.
Hold on. Before you reveal it, one of them is going to be either Pooh or Tigger.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So the inner
Tigger. Focus. No. Reese, would you like to take a jab at it?
A rose.
Okay. I am going to go with an animal or an insect of some sort.
Wow. No, even sillier than that. So on the left on the inner left ankle is what now is my ex, and on the outer left ankle is now another one of my exes.
Oh, you went right down
right
the road.
Out.
Can you believe it? Folks, nothing. Marriage, why you bugging? I can't help but to pat myself on the back. You have two ex-boyfriends tattooed on your body. Again, proving my point. You want to end a relationship, put that knucklehead's name. Oh, you got to give the names now. It doesn't matter. I want to know the inner and outer names on both of them. Come on.
Okay. Okay, so the inner one is a gentleman that I used to date. His name is Antonio, but we called him Pana because he was from Panama. So Pana is what is on there, P-A-N-A. And on the other side is on the outer side is Jesse.
Now,
one is professionally done and one is done by hand.
Oh wow. Ugh, even worse. Now if I may ask, how soon after
did we break up after I put the tattoo on? You're breaking up, Reese.
Okay, so how soon after the Panna tattoo did you and Panna break up?
Probably about a year.
Okay, so it lasted a year. And Jesse, how long did that last after you got that tattoo?
That was a nightmare. That lasted probably a year and a half. And now, Bana did not get my name tattooed on him, and he was quite shocked when I showed up to his house with my name tattooed on my ankle. He was like, oh, my God, why did you do that? But Jesse did get my name tattooed, actually very huge, on the forearm and ended up getting it covered up, you know, after the fact. But so I'll be covering them up. I'm not getting them removed, but I will be covering them up.
Okay, so at least it was a year and a half. So, all right, this sounds like a life expectancy of about a year. Putting boyfriends or girlfriends' names on your body, that sounds about the right length of time. Would that be appropriate?
Yes. And if anyone is out there listening, don't do it. Seriously, don't do it, especially as a woman, because now if I put on shorts or if I want to wear a skirt or a dress or anything like that, I'm very, very conscious about those tattoos. It just doesn't look, I work in, you know, I'm in a professional environment. It doesn't look professional. It's really not sexy, especially the hand-done one. It's all right, but it's not sexy. It's not attractive, and this is my opinion. I like tattoos on other people. Sometimes they look good, but if you're a woman, really think about it before you do something like that, seriously, especially putting a man's name on you or another woman, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely insane. So what do you think about this mother and the 10-year-old? Do you think that that's, she sounds pretty stupid.
Now, you say she sounds stupid because she's from Georgia, and this is how they talk in Georgia.
No, that's not why I think
that she sounds. I think that she sounds like a distressed mother that has just lost her son in a fatal car accident, I believe is what you said, that lost her son, and she obviously was not making a good decision. She was probably not in the frame of mind to make a good decision. She probably thought, oh, you know, she's still in mourning. Her, you know, her youngest son is in mourning, so, you know, let him go ahead and do it. I agree with you. If I would have told him no, if you want to do it when you are of age to do that, then you can do that. But as of right now, no, it's not going to happen. But I don't believe that they should be bringing her up on criminal charges. I mean, I think that that's ludicrous. If she is his mother and she chose to let him get a tattoo. Now, I didn't know. I thought that your parents just had to be there with you. I had no idea that that was an illegal, you know, that that was a criminal offense.
Well, it's a state law. It's in Georgia, no one's allowed to put a tattoo on a child unless it's a doctor. And I think in that particular case, according to the law, is what they're saying is like it's a plastic surgeon who's trying to cover up something along those lines. I don't think there's a doctor who actually gives tattoos.
No,
if there
medical
is,
reason.
Let me know.
But
yeah,
she made an emotional decision is what she did. I kind of slapped with the same situation. My daughter, she had been asking for a tattoo for a long time, and I wouldn't allow it. Even though my daughter looks a lot older than what she is, I wouldn't allow it. But when she came to me at a time when, really shortly after my mom had passed, and she wanted to put my mom's name with a couple angel wings on her. And my initial response was no, because somewhere down the line you're going to regret it. But she ended up putting it somewhere where it's not going to always be viewable. And her mom at the time, came to me with the okay, so she was already halfway home when I got hit with the idea. And being emotional, like I said, I just lost my mom, and she wanted to put my mom and her. My mom were very, very, very close. I agreed to it. So I can understand her making an emotional decision, but I don't think I would have made that decision had my daughter been 10 years old at that time. No, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm talking about. I mean, as a teenager, I know kids want a certain thing. I'll give you a perfect example. You know, I remember when my stepdaughter wanted a piercing in her upper ear. And, she wanted it in a high part of her lobe. And when she was younger, she kept talking about getting a belly ring. You know, like a belly piercing. And that was a big deal to her then, too. And I kept trying to explain to her that it was a trend. It was a trend. It was a trend. Stop trying to be like everybody else. Stop trying to fit in. You are the person who decides what's cool. Don't let other people tell you what's cool. If you follow a fad and the fad is done, you're the moron left holding the bag. And I always try to preach that to my kids. Don't be left holding the bag because it's just a phase. It's just a fad. And kids don't understand that in the beginning because you're old and you don't know what you're talking about. So I finally gave in. But there was a rule, of course, you know, I want to see the grades for one whole year. If they up to par, blah, blah, by the time you hit your 16th birthday, you can get, you know, the little earring in the upper, you know, upper part of your ear. Finally, I gave in, and she got it done. I gave her crap behind it. But today, young lady, she came of doing a belly piercing or a tattoo because of now. It wouldn't be in second nature to her to want to get something like that, and that's what I'm trying to avoid. It's like, you don't know what it is. Kids are impetuous. They want what they want until something else comes along. They don't know any better. So you as a parent not knowing that, that you need to be the sort of moral guide and say you're 10. Sure, you want it now, but it's not a good idea. Where the hell did a 10-year-old get the idea to put a tattoo on them? Where? I don't know where anybody would get an idea. I know, and as I told you in the beginning of this segment, I got sort of the impression that I wanted a tattoo because everybody else was doing it, and I was, you know, again, under the influence, as many people have been when they got a tattoo, and I said I wanted to get the initials of my family on my arm. And our initials spell out the word care, C-A-R-E. That's how corny it was. That's how bad it was. And I got talked out of it because it was a stupid idea. Because I didn't know any better. I wouldn't even dream of that now under any influence. It would be a dumb idea. What do I need this for? A 10-year-old, at that time I was 38. Yeah, 38, I think, at the time. I don't even know that I was being a moron. So I know that a 10-year-old is completely black thinking that they should get a tattoo. I mean, not that this 10-year-old is going to regret it because it's their brother and they love their brother. They're not going to end up disliking their brother and wishing they haven't done it. Especially in the African-American community, it's a badge of honor for some odd reason to have a tattoo. You know, oh, look, I love my brother more than you love your brother. I tattooed him on my arm or whatever. How stupid and ridiculous is that? But this is just one of those cases where the parent needs to step in and be a parent. And when she says, what am I going to do when my son asks to get a tattoo? Use your brain, stupid. Use your brain. You're a complete idiot for allowing it. I couldn't have been more mortified when I saw the story. Here's the story again.
A mother in Georgia now charged with child cruelty after she allowed her 10-year-old son to get a tattoo. Chantira Napier was arrested Tuesday. She says her son Jaquan wanted a tattoo in memory of his big brother who died in a car accident. So Napier took Jaquan to get his brother's jersey number tattooed on his arm. When officials at Jaquan's school saw the ink, they called police. The mother says she had no idea she was breaking the law.
So my son came to me and said, Mom, I want to get a tattoo with Malika on it, rest in peace. What do I say to a child that want to remember his brother?
It represents my brother.
I always thought that if a parent gives consent, then it's fine.
Well, in Georgia, the state law says it forbids anyone but a doctor to tattoo a person younger than 18. A tattoo artist is also under investigation.
Somebody needs to go to jail. That's just me. Am I out of whack by thinking somebody needs to go to jail? Mary, you don't think somebody should go to jail, do you?
No, I don't think that she should go to jail. I mean, come on. She's already been through enough. She lost her son. You know, she made a mistake. You know, you learn from your mistakes and you move on. They shouldn't throw this woman in jail. Come on. I mean, that's just crazy. And then this, and then the little boy, he lost his brother. So now what, you going to take his mom too? I don't even understand why the school people called the police. I think that that was a punk move. If they had a concern about it, they should have went and talked to the mother.
All right, how about house arrest?
No. I mean,
probation.
What is wrong with you? Not even probation. It should just be like, okay, you, I mean, ignorance to the law does not, you know,
right.
does not
no
dismiss you.
Ignorance of the law is no defense. You're bottom line right. But somebody's got to do sometime.
Come on now, Reese. Really? Are you serious here? Are you going off the deep end because it's Friday night or what? I mean, are you serious?
Okay.
Somebody's got to do some time, so why don't you go do it?
I'm not doing their time. I didn't put the tattoo on a 10-year-old. Why would I do the time?
I mean, come on. I could see if it's a tattoo. It can be taken off. It can be covered up. I mean, whatever. I understand. I'm not saying that she was right in what she did, but I don't think that it warrants jail time or house arrest.
No, not at all.
Not even house arrest?
No.
No.
What is wrong with you people?
It's not as though she was denying a crime. She just denied. She didn't understand the laws or know that there was laws. Hell, I didn't even know that there was a law, that law in Georgia. Who looks up laws when they think on impulse like
well,
that?
Well, yeah, you don't live in Georgia, so you don't have to care.
Well, I don't even think that law is in Connecticut. I live in Connecticut. I mean, honestly, I know kids that I know that kids. Well, not maybe not that young, but not too much older. That got tattoos. Mom's consented.
What do you mean?
Huh?
Well, you saying you know people who have consented to this?
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Whoa.
You know them too,
I mean,
but
are you saying?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm listening, Mary.
Listen, you see kids walking around nowadays, teenagers. Okay, yeah, I understand that he was 10, so that's a problem. But she didn't know. She made a decision under distress. She was stressed out. She was depressed. She was, you know, hurt. You have to look at the whole situation. There's kids that walk around. They've got, you know, they've got spaces in their ears. They're not of age, but they're stretching out their skin. They have them in their lips. They have them in their nose. They have them all over their face. They're, you know, hanging out of everywhere, and they're stretching their skin out, and that skin never goes back. So, you know, is it tattoos, getting piercings? I mean, what else? You can't say that this woman should go to jail.
And
don't
I will
cool.
do you one better. I'll do you one better, Reese. I know a tattoo artist who's been tattooing since she was 12.
Are you kidding me?
No.
What the hell is going on? Am I missing something? Is this the new norm? Is this the new social norm? Is that what you're telling me?
It's a form of art. Now, I can understand why the little boy may have wanted to do that, okay? I don't understand where he may have gotten the idea, but it's a tribute. You pay tribute. You see people, if you ever see people, sometimes when they're driving on their car, they have family members that died, they put on their car, you know, riding in memory of. So they're branding their vehicle, letting people know that, you know, this person has died.
Yeah, but that's a car, Mary.
Yeah, I understand. I'm getting, let me get to my point, JC. Thank you very much.
Wow.
So it's my point is that it's paying tribute to somebody. So if that's something that you want to do and your parent allows you to do it and whatever, I mean, that's on them. Is it affecting you at all? No.
If I may ask, I was taking a break. Said, can Jesse, you pay tribute to their breakup with you, I guess, right? It's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701 right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Well, I have a little man. It's beautiful by the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
It's Reese on the radio. We're back. The number's 347-308-01. Live right on the ResellerRadio.com. I've got a couple of things that I'm going to be putting up there on the website. If you have, you can check out Anatomy of a False Rape Claim. You can check out the details that are upcoming, you know, on the trial. February 8th is the next court date. You can get that. Some of the information that's coming has already come out about that. February 8th is when we get to find out that decision. Some other things, of course, you can always suggest at ResellerRadio@yahoo.com. Send me some messages. I actually just got asked and offered a speaking engagement that I had to do that I'm probably going to do tonight, if not tomorrow. A speaking engagement, someone will be asking, and I've never ever done this before, folks. I want to thank Dwight for sending me the email and the invitation. He invited me to come down because when I grew up, a lot of the guys that I sort of liked or listened to growing up, they did a lot of speaking engagements, and I've always envied guys who did that. You know, a lot of guys get paid a lot of money to do that. Of course, you know, as recent memory, Mitt Romney, I think I paid like $350,000 in a year for doing speaking engagements. I think even Bill Clinton gets paid like $800,000. For every speaking engagement that he does. And this is kind of like the same thing. People want me to come up and speak, about, you know, what I went through in a 2.5 years. So I'm very, very excited about doing that because I've never done it before. And I'm kind of, I'm very verbose, as they say. I like being sort of in that spotlight to talk about things. But I think that this can be a very enlightening experience for not just the people listening, but more importantly for myself, because I get an opportunity to public speak, which is what I enjoy to do. I think this is going to be a great venture for me. So that's going to be coming up soon. I will give the details as soon as I find them out. I will definitely be recording it when I am there, and we will broadcast that right here on Reason Radio on Blog Talk Radio. So you'll get to hear some of the things that I have to say. It's a little after 9 o'clock, of course. The weekend is coming, and football is almost over. We're just about 3 weeks there. And I guess I'm having some pre-depression coming on. Like, I'm not even excited about the two games coming up this weekend because I know that once they're over, it's only another 2 weeks until the Super Bowl, and then it's all a wrap. So although I'm excited, it's sort of a sweet thing. And, you know, my guys are already in it, so, you know, this thing, you know, so, you know, but I've always said before, it's kind of a good thing. That's a good thing. Guys aren't in it, so you can really enjoy the game. But again, the downside for me is
is that football is almost over until another 6 months. You know, for me, it almost feels like the end of the world because it's just 6 months without it. It's tough for me. I'm sorry. I start watching the NFL Network on DirecTV, and I watch that just to get to the – I watch a bunch of old games just to see football happen. I don't care if it's a game that I watch, and I know backwards and forwards. I'm watching the commentators.
And then Santonio Holmes caught the –
I don't care. I'm watching it. And so for me, it's bittersweet. But as you know, it is the NFC Championship game. The New York Giants are flying all the way out to San Francisco. I think they're leaving today. I think they've left today. They'll be in San Francisco. It's going to be a rainy game. Ha-ha! A rainy game in San Francisco. It's going to be raining 3 days straight out there, right into the game. They'll be playing the San Francisco 49ers in Candlestick Park. I'm excited for that because I think that's going to be a very, very tough defensive game. I don't think there'll be a lot of throwing in this game. And if there is, I'm expecting a lot of interceptions and some turnovers. I'm expecting some real butt kicking going on. I'm holding Mary off for a reason, folks, because she's a Giants fan. And I don't need her interrupting me talking about, woohoo, G-Man. She can do that in a minute. I'll give her an opportunity to do that. So I'm keeping her on hold. I have to keep her at bay. Not only that, JC, he's a 49er fan. Although he hasn't watched them since the Montana days, this would be a very, very awkward conversation between somebody who's a current fan and somebody who's an old school fan. Trust me, it's just going to be an awful conversation, and I just don't want to get into it yet. They'll have it. I'll give them an opportunity to do that, just putting them at bay. Trust me, it's a wise thing I'm doing here. Also in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens will be going up to New England in Foxborough to play against the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. So I'm reading now in an article. It's on Drudge Report. I haven't actually pulled it up. Where Tom Brady is quoted as saying, I'm the best decision this organization has ever made. I can't argue with him. I can't argue with him. The best they had before him was Drew Bledsoe. This guy's been to 3 Super Bowls, and he's come close to going to 4. He's about to do his 5th. Or his 5th. Bottom line is that he's been there. The guy's got 15 playoff game wins. So I agree with Tom Brady. Best thing that ever happened to the New England Patriots. He has made them contenders. 6-round draft pick. Turns out the stars in the NFL. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a big fan of Joe Flacco. Ravens. And I am definitely not of the New England Patriots. So having said that, my pick is for the New England Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going against the grain here because I'm picking them based on talent and who I believe as a prognosticator who will win. So I believe that the New England Patriots will be the AFC champions and will be defending the AFC in the Super Bowl. Now let me bring in the intrepid Cuba crew for the NFC title. JC and Mary, who are at odds about this game because, as I mentioned, JC is a San Francisco fan and Mary is a Giants fan. So it's no sense of you guys telling me who you got, Mary, just for giggles, who you got me in the game tomorrow. Hello? You don't have her? I'm sorry. Mary, who do you got in the game tomorrow? I apologize.
My boys in blue.
Okay, so you've got the Giants. And, JC, do we need to ask you who you got in the game tomorrow?
Anybody but the Giants.
Now, JC. Okay, now wait a minute. JC. You were supposed to let me know on Wednesday, which you did not, and don't think that I forgot about it because I have not, what you were putting on the wood
for your San Francisco 49ers against my New York Giants. So you've had plenty of time to look. You've had plenty of time. Sorry, guys. You've had plenty of time to think about that. What is it?
You know, that's the cops coming for Mary's picks. That's what's going on in the background. That's the police showing up for Mary's picks.
Okay, stop it. No, it's not. Sorry about that.
That's
I couldn't avoid that.
Arrest. That's okay. That's the police trying to arrest her for those awful picks. Somebody should be arrested for them.
Can you stop taking the Giants just because we were the team to take your team out?
Oh, no, my team's going to take your team out. I'm just trying to think what I want from you.
Oh, no, I was talking to Reese. See, because the Jets Jets had to go home. Excuse me. Wait a minute. The Jets had to go home because the Giants beat them. So that's why the Jets were out of it. And that's why Reese is really so sour against my Giants.
No, I'm just hating. I'm very, very comfortable in hate mode. I'm hating.
I know, because we were the ones to take you out. We sent you home.
Okay. So what are we putting? Come on, JC. Figure something out.
How about I send you... you like fruit?
I love fruit.
How about some chocolate-covered fruit?
That's even better.
I'm thinking edible arrangements.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
Okay.
All right, edible arrangements. Yeah, that sounds cool. Okay, so Mary, what you got for him?
I'll go
no,
out
like,
on the limb.
I like flowers.
You like flowers? what's your flavor? What's your favorite flower, Pansy?
No, I don't want no damn flowers. Well, I'll go with fruit too. It'll line me up for the reconstruction.
you are so funny. Okay, so we got fruit on the line. This is so funny. We've got fruit on the line for the football game.
Yeah, that'll work.
Well, why not?
And it's healthy.
So we know what it is you got. Exactly. So we know who it is that you got in the NFC game. Who you got in the AFC game? Baltimore or New England?
Baltimore all the way.
You got Baltimore, JC?
Baltimore.
That's right, because you hate New England.
With a passion.
Okay. All right. Okay, so
just for the record, it's not Baltimore, it's B-more.
Whatever. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to make my NFC game. My pick for the NFC game is going to be San Francisco.
Well, of course.
To beat the Giants home, I believe that it will be San Francisco versus New England because I think going to be an against a defensive game to the Super Bowl. I am predicting that it's the San Francisco 49ers against New England in Indianapolis at the Lucas Oil Stadium. And, of course, we'll find out next week who's going. And, you know, I'll probably get my picks wrong because I've been awful this playoff season. I have no idea. Every time I make a pick, it's awful. I was 1-3. 1-3. 1 win, 3 losses. So I'll probably get this wrong. I don't think that it's going to be easy. I think I'm going to split this one down the middle. I'm certain I'm splitting this one down the middle. Because if it's the Baltimore Ravens against the San Francisco 49ers, it's going to be a boring game. I'll put any amount of money on it. It's going to be a game where there'll be no scoring. It's going to be a score from like 6-3. So I want to see some touchdowns. I want to see scores in the 20s and 30s. That's what I want to see. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, we'll find out.
Now, when do the games come on?
Good question. Give me a quick second, and I will tell you.
Because you said tomorrow, but I thought they were on Sunday.
No. One game's on Saturday, one game's on Sunday. Always in the NFC and AFC championship games. They never put them on the same day.
Well, let's figure that out, because I volunteered for overtime tomorrow, and that may not be happening.
Oh, no. I am wrong.
Oh, yes.
I am wrong. Oh, there's no game Saturday? Oh, okay, so 3 o'clock is Baltimore versus New England, and then 6:30 is the Giants versus San Francisco. I thought the game is on Sunday, 3 o'clock and at 6:30. So, I don't know. No, that's fine. I can watch 2 games on Sunday. I'm good with
that. I'm thinking about my Atlanta Housewives.
You got
to. No, you did not. No, you did not. You did not just compare some Atlanta Housewives to the football.
Listen, football ends in 3 weeks.
Football like that.
Atlanta Housewives continue.
Can't you watch it online?
Can't you TiVo it?
Can't you watch it online? Yeah, or something.
I watch it because I can catch my housewives after hours, but I'll watch the game. I'm going to sit up here licking my lips thinking about that luscious cold fruit.
You know,
I'm going to smile at that fruit like Paula Deen used to smile at a stick of butter 3 years ago.
You are so stupid. I'm still waiting for Reese to live up to his end of his
yesterday I did everything to find you a Peyton Manning jersey, and I couldn't find one because they were all gone. Can you believe it? At every place that I went to, they were all gone. That's how bad it was. And I tried really, really hard. Oh, by the way, let me mention this. Mary, did you see the Modern Family show that got all the ruckus about the curse word?
No, I did not watch it.
Did I watch it? I watched it. Let me just say to the folks over at Modern Family, I'm very, very disappointed. It wasn't even a funny show. The part that had nothing to do with the curse word was hilarious. That did with the main family, that had the main family doing the debate. That was hilarious. But the whole thing about the girl saying the curse word, that was just a waste of time. I was like, this isn't funny. I mean, it wasn't even irreverent. I've never been so disappointed about a show that I love. I've never been so disappointed. I'm like, it was just awful. It was just one of those things.
Did they bring it in?
Apparently she just says the F word while she's trying on her flower girl dress, which was a hideous dress. And she says it, and one of the fathers can't stop laughing. And they wrap it up at the end when they're at the wedding and she's there, and they're so worried about her saying this expletive. But one of the fathers who's kept laughing cries at weddings. So he starts crying at the wedding. So the daughter, who's supposed to drop the F-bomb, thinks that her saying this F-word makes her daddy laugh. So she desperately wants to make her daddy laugh. So in the middle of the wedding, when everybody's quiet and they're about to, you know, exchange their vows, the little girl says the F-word again, and the whole place starts laughing. So that was the extent of it. They don't really deal with the issue. They actually just make fun of the fact that the little girl says the F-word. And that's it. It just wasn't funny. I guess it's the point, but I didn't get it. I thought there was humorous, but it wasn't. It was a complete waste. But I still love the show.
To a past
it's still a force, eh, Mary?
To have had all that controversy around it was like, you know, you were getting people to watch just to see what would happen, and then they're watching, and then nothing really happens. That's the disappointing part.
Exactly. It's already a highly rated show. They don't need... Yeah, it was the old bait and switch, but it's a highly rated show. It's a critically acclaimed show. It didn't need a stunt. You know, it didn't need a stunt. And I pretty do keep it fresh and new, but it didn't need a stunt. It was stupid. I was disappointed. I mean, completely. You know, but, that's... Oh, what are you going to do? That's what they do. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll recap the show. We'll welcome you to your weekend. And we hope you have a grand one. Snow's coming. It's going to snow. Real winter has arrived. It's on the radio.
Here's an amazing survival story with a happy ending. A hiker who was lost in a blizzard on Washington State Mount Rainier said he stayed alive by digging a snow tunnel and burning dollar bills for warmth. This was it. He had a bunch of $5 bills and $1 bills in his wallet, and he burned them all to stay warm. Burned them all. The good news, today he was offered a job as President Obama's economic advisor. So, beautiful story. Wonderful story. Well, President Obama was in Disney World today, where he unveils his new plan to create jobs. He was joined by Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, but not Goofy. He had to stay behind to tend to his vice presidential duty. He couldn't go. Actually, you know why President Obama chose Disney World? It was the only place with longer lines in the unemployment office. So it looks better. Yeah, it looks better. Well, Mitt Romney said today when he visits Disney World, he will lay off Tinkerbell and downsize the Seven Dwarfs to four. Lay off four dwarfs. I like fire and dwarfs. Well, here's a shocker. Rick Perry has dropped out of the presidential race. Apparently, America did not want a conservative, gun-happy, intellectually challenged governor of Texas for president. At least not again. Yeah, they didn't go for that, yeah. Well, this week, John Huntsman dropped out of the presidential race as well, but he endorsed fellow Mormon Mitt Romney, which is a huge relief to the Mormon community that they're united again, because between Huntsman and Romney, Mormons haven't been this divided, I guess, since Marie was a little bit country and Donnie was a little bit rock and roll. Remember that rift? Oh. Well, at the debates the other night, Mitt Romney said he is not an avid hunter, but he is happy to go along if someone invites him to go hunting, to which Newt Gingrich said, hey, maybe you can tag along with Dick Cheney. Yeah. Well, tonight there was the CNN primary debate with the four remaining candidates. It was kind of a change for Newt Gingrich. You know, usually when he's arguing with three people at once, it's his wife, his ex-wife, and his mistress. So that's where this is to be four. Hey, a world record was set this week in the men's 100-meter dash. It was set by the Italian cruise ship captain abandoning ship.
Oh, man.
You following this story? The captain of that Italian cruise ship that ran aground and tipped over is denying that he abandoned ship. He said what happened was, this is what he said. He said he fell off the boat and landed in the lifeboat. He fell off and landed in the lifeboat. Boy, is he lucky. To make matters worse, he then slipped and fell into a cab that took him home. Oh my gosh. What are the odds of that? Fell into a lifeboat. Please. Isn't that the worst excuse you've ever heard? Alvin and the Chipmunks had a more plausible explanation in the movie Chipwrecked, okay? See, this reflects badly on the Italian people. My dad, anytime an Italian did something bad, my dad would always get upset. An Italian guy who refuses to go down with the ship, which is the exact opposite of what this Italian guy is doing here on NBC. See, I am going down with you.
I am still here. Good God, me. And the newly crowned Miss America says her big celebrity crush is Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. She says she would love to date him. Well, it couldn't come at a better time. I mean, the schedule's wide open, and then they can watch the Super Bowl. They can watch. And Yahoo co-founder Jerry Yang has resigned from the company's board of directors. Yang has resigned. You know what this means? Ying gets promoted. You see, just keeping that delicate balance of yin and yang at any one time. Well, this is pretty gruesome. This has been in the news here in Los Angeles for the last couple of days. Some body parts were found near the Hollywood sign. Body parts.
Yeah.
Turns out they used to belong to Joan Rivers. Apparently had a lot of work. Apparently she had a lot of... And in New York City, a subway car had to be evacuated after they discovered a possum in one of the cars. A possum. They captured the possum and killed him. And now Donald Trump is wearing it on his head. That's what happened. Here's another big story. Porno producers here in Los Angeles are threatening to leave Los Angeles if they are forced to make the actors wear condoms. You know something, while we're at it, why don't we force them to take acting lessons, too? You know what I'm saying? Be right. Please. Bing bong. Hey, lady, did you order the large pizza with extra sausage? Yes, I did, but I have no way to pay for it. Thank you. That was my all-purpose.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, in USA Today, Paula Deen says she has type 2 diabetes. The probable cause? Paula Deen, okay? You can't eat sticks of butter. Anyway, you know 33% of Americans are now obese? I don't believe 30%. In fact, in the Midwest, cows are sneaking up on people and tipping them over. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. And Paris Hilton has announced she is coming out with a second album in the next few months. Apparently, this album is being targeted at people who didn't hear the first album. So they're going for it. And a woman here in at Burbank, right up the street, we were shocked. Our bucolic neighborhood, which was tarnished, when a woman went into the McDonald's here and offered to have sex for chicken McNuggets. You've heard of crack hoe? This is a snack hoe. That's the real thing. That's the real thing.
Teresa on the radio, right here, live on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. And let me take an opportunity to thank all of you who have been tuning in. And I've been checking the reports of the people who have been tuning in. The numbers are doing great. Especially for a new show. It's got a very, very minimal, but a blast internet. We're just using the social network to get people to tune into the show. And you have. We like the numbers. We want them to grow. Tell your friends. You don't have to dedicate 3 hours. You dedicate a little bit of time. We'll send you an email blast. We'll send you some blast. What it is that we're talking about. And we just want to thank you. That's what we do here on Friday. And you know what's up on Friday. It's the Friday Night Dance Party right here on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com. Now, the guy said to me last week, because they were so upset that I picked a song by the Silver Sun Pickups, and I was talking about a bass player and all that other stuff. So I figured I'm going to stick with the theme. Maybe they would appreciate theme-based dance party songs. So we'll do that later on at the end of the show. And I have a surprise for them because I picked the song because they told me that they would pick the song, but I never got a song from anybody. So I had to pick my own, you know. And as the leader of the pack, you know, my name is on the marquee, Reese on the radio. I figured, you know, I had to do the job. Just kidding. So I picked a song that was, of course, theme-oriented, and you'll get it, of course, when you hear it. Oh, whoa, JC. What? Go ahead, JC. What was it? Did you have a song?
No. Nothing. I'm just observing.
Theme-oriented. Oh, okay. I'm going to make it theme-oriented. So what we talked about in the show, this is a part of the show, last half hour. We always like to do a recap of what it is that we talked about. And, you know, it is the end of the week. There are plenty of things we talked about throughout the week, but it's always important that we do a recap of what it is that we did today. You know, we talked about Newt Gingrich and how he blasted John King at CNN during the Republican debate. And it was, for me, personally, and what it is that I've seen in the liberal media, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was brilliant what he did to John King. He put him in his place. And listening to that crowd react to it, I think it was a state of our union. I think it was America saying, we've had enough. We've had enough of these ridiculous attacks on conservatives while they continue to protect the President of the United States and people that they like. If you missed it, of course, which I doubt many people have, here's another recap.
And Mr. Speaker, I want to start with that this evening. As you know, your ex-wife gave an interview to ABC News and another interview with the Washington Post, and this story has now gone viral on the Internet. In it, she says that you came to her in 1999, at a time when you were having an affair. She says you asked her, sir, to enter into an open marriage. Would you like to take some time to respond to that?
No, but I will. I think the destructive, vicious, negative nature of much of the news media makes it harder to govern this country, harder to attract decent people to run for public office. And I am appalled that you would begin a presidential debate on a topic like that. Person in here knows personal pain. Every person in here has had someone close to them go through painful things. To take an ex-wife and make it 2 days before the primary, a significant question in a presidential campaign, is as close to despicable as anything I can imagine. My two daughters wrote the head of ABC and made the point that it was wrong, that they should pull it, and I am frankly astounded that CNN would take trash like that and use it to open a presidential debate.
As you noted, Mr. Speaker, this story did not come from our network. As you also know, it is the subject of conversation on the campaign. I get your point. I take your point.
John, it was repeated by your network. You chose to start the debate with it. Don't try to blame somebody else. You and your staff chose to start this debate with it. Now, let me be quite clear.
I take your point. As I mentioned earlier, that liberals do when they know that you have kicked their ass. I take your point. And Mary, you even said it yourself. You said it's dismissive when they use that tone. I take your point. I say it's a shut up move. It's like
you're right. I can't even argue with you. Let me shut up.
Yeah, exactly. So I take your point. And we also talked about Marianne Gingrich, the second wife of Newt Gingrich, the ex-wife. Talking about her attacks on him. And as I said earlier in the show, if you missed it, I believe the bottom line was that Newt Gingrich got rid of this dead weight because she was detrimental, completely detrimental to this man's a possibility of ever becoming president because she was caught up in a scandal where she may have been trying to take bribes from a Russian arms dealer.
Marianne herself became the subject of an FBI sting investigation after meeting in Paris with a notorious arms dealer who was working as an undercover government source. The investigation was ultimately dropped, but a 1997 FBI document obtained by ABC News says Gingrich told the source that she was in a position to get things done in Congress and asked for $500,000 for herself up front as part of an alleged $10 million bribe to buy influence with her husband, the Speaker of the House.
This is all made up, fabricated, hogwash. This is a convicted felon talking with people that have nothing to do with me.
But you met with him.
I did meet with him.
It would cost $10 million to get the job done. Did you ever try to sell your husband's position?
Heavens no.
Heavens no. That's preposterous. Did you meet with him? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I met with him.
She sounded like Jabba when I giggle.
Doesn't she?
Did you
Doesn't
just say she sounds like Jabba?
Yeah. Like Jabba the Hutt? Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's what he's saying. She's going, Ugawi Chewbacca. That's what Chewbacca did in Return of the Jedi. Ugawi Chewbacca.
And in her case, preposterous.
Yeah, preposterous, but you met with him. Yes, I did. He got rid of that dead weight. She was going to ruin his career, and he got rid of her. And the reason why the investigation ended is because Newt Gingrich made sure they left her alone. Listen, I'm going to dump this fraud, drop the investigation, and then I'll resign later on. But you keep this out of the press, whatever it is, don't worry, but I'll get rid of this fraud. And she got mad because she got dumped. She got dumped. And Calista was probably sitting up there going, yeah, you need to drop this dead weight. I'll take care of you, Newt. We're going to be the president and the first lady. I got you covered. And this bitter broad, all she was out to do was to destroy him. Destroy him.
Marianne Gingrich is talking on television for the first time. A kind of January surprise for her ex-husband. He faces a crucial presidential primary in South Carolina this Saturday.
If he's running for president, he has answers to give.
You know his secrets. You know his skeletons.
I know some of them.
I know his secrets. I know some of them. Yeah! Somebody's seeking revenge for getting dumped! $500,000. That's preposterous! Did you meet with him? Yes, I did. Okay, so we talked about that. And we talked about the liberals' attack on Newt Gingrich and, of course, about Barack Obama singing to the black audience. Sing that song.
That call to action.
That call to action. Sing that song.
I want to thank the incredible performers this evening. One of my favorites, India Ari, in the house. There she is. I love India. And then to know that Reverend Al Green was here. I'm so in love with you.
Hold on.
Did he not say in the house?
Yes, he did. But hold on. I want to mention something about that. He says Indy Ari is in the house, and the crowd applauds. Ain't no Negroes in the hood buying Indy Ari records. What are they applauding? Ain't no Indy Ari records being sold in the hood. The same people who buy India Ari records are the same people who bought Tracy Chapman's last album. Come on, man.
Dirty backpackers.
Yeah. Ain't no,
oat milk
no
soap and mushroom deodorant.
Yeah, exactly. Mushroom deodorant. There are no real India Irie is in the house. India Irie don't sell no records to the black audience. Is she kidding me? Is he kidding me? And, of course, we talked about the Today Show. And they couldn't stop getting on their knees and sucking up to the president. As they always do, suck it
President
up.
Obama was in New York City on Thursday doing a little fundraising, and during a stop at the Apollo Theater, with the legendary singer in the audience, the president broke into the Al Green hit, Let's Stay Together. Check it out.
Let's stay together, Negroes.
So in love with you.
The man has a voice.
I
mean,
yeah, I know.
And to do it in front of Al Green, which is...
Yeah, he got to hit that note.
That's
I mean,
a real high
he could be
one.
On The Voice.
Really very
Sign
good.
Him
and
up.
That, so we decided to get a little creative,
That's right.
Right.
Our editors actually did, and they did a little mashup between a little Obama and a little Al Green. Let's take
Yeah, we don't want to hear the freaking mashup.
Thank you.
We obviously have too much time on our hands. And Curry said, yeah, you got too much time. You ain't reporting the news.
And personally, I like Tina Turner's version.
Well, I've never heard the Tina Turner version. You send it to me and I'll listen to it. I'll see if it's any better. But that's what we covered, of course. And we covered the mother who gave her 10-year-old son a tattoo.
A mother in Georgia now charged with child cruelty after she allowed her 10-year-old son to get a tattoo. Shantira Napier was arrested Tuesday. She says her son Jaquan wanted a tattoo in memory of his big brother who died in a car accident. So Napier took Jaquan to get his brother's jersey number tattooed on his arm. When officials at Jaquan's school saw the ink, they called police. The mother says she had no idea she was breaking the law.
So my son came to me and said, Mom, I want to get a tattoo with Malika on it, rest in peace. What do I say to a child that want to remember his brother?
It represents my brother.
No!
I always thought that if a parent gives consent, then it's fine.
Well, in Georgia, the state law says it forbids anyone but a doctor to tattoo a person younger than 18. A tattoo artist is also under investigation.
And there should be much more investigation into this. I think the investigation should begin. What the hell is wrong with people? But you know what? They're going to get tattoos anyway. JC, you don't have no tattoos, right?
What's that?
You don't have any tattoos, do you?
God, no. I don't mark up my body. This is my temple.
Okay, that's right. There you go. Your temple. Unfortunately, Hannah Jesse. Appears to be on Mary's ankle. I can't wait until she has it removed. Hey, but you know what? At least, you know what, Mary? You should get Panama completely etched in on your inner ankle, because then, that's a famous Van Halen song. So at least you can return to being a white girl, that I can respect. She's got no words.
Mary?
This is the silent. This is the most silent
I've ever seen. She's holding her jokes inside.
No, I'm not holding my jokes inside, you silly kid.
I know she had a million of them for my temple.
I'm so upset. I knew Beagle. That I was going to find out that Mary had a tattoo. I knew I was going to find that out today. I knew it. I predicted it. And I will tell you this, though. I did not predict it was going to be two boyfriends. I did not predict that.
Oh. I mean, what is... Does that change the way that you look at me now?
No. My perspective of you never, ever changes. Just because you got a tattoo. By the way, how long ago was it when you got those tattoos?
Several years ago.
Hey, several. Several is two.
No, a couple is two. A few is three. Several is like five or better.
Oh, okay. So it's been a while.
It's been a very long time. It's been over 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, so those things probably looked a little dinged up by now, right?
No.
I'm just teasing. Anyway, so that's a recap of the show. Anyway, that being said, now, look, I was thinking, because these guys, they don't come to me with a good song for the quote-unquote dance party. And they haven't come up with one yet. I'm still waiting for you guys to send me a song. You have one?
I have one, too. I have one of mine.
I have several. I just didn't send them to you, that's all. I mean, I want to hear...
What?
You want to
hear what?
Next week?
Well, can I make a request? I mean, are we, is this, you know, this is true Friday night dance party? Can I make a request? Can I shout out to my homies?
No.
There will be no shouting out to nobody's homies on this show.
No shouting out. The shout out has been murdered. That being said, I don't want you to give me what the songs are, but get a song. I've had to pick a song. And trust me, when I thought about it, I went, it was perfect. Because
you're
I had
rotten.
It.
That much I'll tell you.
I had to dedicate this song to Marianne Gingrich.
You're
rotten. Oh,
Lord. You are rotten.
No, no,
can
no,
I give
listen,
you my pick for next week before you start?
Say again?
Can I give you my pick for next week before we start?
Your picks for next
week? Yeah, I just want to give you my...
My dance
track for next week.
No,
it's
no,
a hot
no,
one,
no.
too.
No. You have to keep it under wraps. We can't let people know what the song is before. What is the song's got to come when the song plays. We can't let them know in advance what the song is.
Oh, okay.
And it's got to have a theme. But the reason why I say it's got to have a theme is because that's what the dance party's all about. The dance party's all about theme. So today's theme is about Marianne Gingrich. And if you guys will allow me, if you'll indulge me for the next 2 or 3 minutes, let me tell you why I picked this song.
Can I just say one thing before you go on? If you play the tune to Gilligan's Island, I'm gonna scream.
No, I'm not gonna play that. I'm not. Remember, it's a dance party, so it's gotta be a legitimate song. I would never ever play a television theme.
No, that would have gone for the cruise ship captain.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, I will fall out.
No, I'm not going to play something. Trust me, I'm going to play something good. All right? Now, when I play it, I promise you. Now, listen, this is what you guys have to do. On our console, we can go into a private room while the audio is playing. I want you guys to go to the private room and tell me whether or not this was a good choice when you hear it. If it's a good choice and they come in and tell me that it is, I'm going to come on the air and I'm going to tell you guys if it was. If it's
I
not,
agree
good,
already.
You say. Okay? I think that's only fair. But let me just go into my little diatribe before we go off the air. When I was with the woman that I was with, before I got arrested, I did not believe in any way whatsoever that our relationship, as tumultuous as it was at times, that anybody would ever do anything to at least slightly go into the area of betrayal. And when that happens, when you hit a crossroads in your relationships, for whatever reason it is that you know the type of person that you are, and you know the type of person that you've been. If you've been bad, if you've been a scumbag, if you've been a piece of crap, you know that. But the truth should always be the truth. And when somebody turns around and abandons that relationship, no matter what it was, your divorce is your divorce, but your years of service to one another, your relationship to one another. Those things are always supposed to outweigh the bad. But unfortunately, that's never, ever the case. Is that when a divorce happens, even if it happens for a year, like you could be married for 17 years. The only thing that you remember is that last year when the divorce proceeding is going on. And that outweighs everything. All you do is grab every bad thing that person has done for 17 years and you compile it into a year. And you forget about those times that were good, those times that were important, those times that there was love, times you made love, times you really, really cared about one another. And when someone goes the extra mile to destroy you because they can't get over that bad stuff, and they forget about the love, and they forget about the love making and the respect and the honor and the trials, the tribulations that you went through as a couple, as a family, you can't help but feel betrayed. And so when I thought about this song, and I thought about what happened with Marianne and Newt Gingrich, and I thought about him as a man, and I saw the pictures that they showed in the Brian Ross interview. And you saw those pictures, showed them hiking, showed them holding hands, showed them at the beach, showed them in Halloween when they both had mascots. You saw how happy they were. And she's looking at those pictures lovingly. It's scary that that love didn't outweigh the hate. See, I talk about hate all the time. I talk about how much I hate and what I hate. I probably talk more about what I hate more than I talk about the things that I love. No, actually, no, let me take that back. I recant what I just said. I always end this show by telling you guys that I love you. So truth be told, love will always be. But I talk about hate a lot. Let me just say that. I talk about what it is that I hate, the hatred that I have. I do push that out there a lot. But I always do what it is that I do with love. But when someone decides that their hate will overcome them, when hate consumes them, that they do the ultimate betrayal, the ultimate betrayal. You're wondering what the ultimate betrayal is? Well, that's the focus of Friday Night Dance Party. What is the ultimate betrayal? You may not know it, but when you hear it, you will understand.
What they
Reese on the Radio right here live on BossTalkRadio.com/Reese on the Radio. I told you. I thought it was only appropriate. Again, Marianne, you're a backstabber. You stabbed your ex-husband in the back. I know you're bitter. I know you're angry. I know you're upset. I don't blame you. But you know he's going to win. You know the woman who took your man is going to end up in that White House. The woman who took your man is going to end up being the First Lady. It's going to eat you alive. Do me a favor, though. Do me a favor. Do the rest of us a favor. Don't do anything dangerous to yourself. I'm telling you, don't do anything dangerous to yourself. Because I know what you're feeling. I feel your pain. I sense it. It's there. I know you're so angry and so bitter that if this man should win and that blonde, beautiful woman ends up being the First Lady of the United States and you didn't get to be there, I know you may think about doing something drastic, but I'm warning you. You don't need to. Come on. Stand up. Hold your head up high. Be a strong, independent woman like India Arie. You can do it. Be a strong woman. Come on. Put on that Beyonce record and shake your tail feather. I am woman, hear me roar. Whatever it is you got to put on, do it. But you don't have to be a backstabber. You don't have to be. It's over. Sweetheart, he's moved on. He hasn't called you, hasn't talked to you. He said nothing to you. He's moved on. And you haven't. What's that say about you? For 12 years, what's that say about you? The smile in your face. What can I tell you? It's a 2-minute dance party. I love you. We'll see you next week. Brand new show. And we appreciate you. Have a good one, guys. It's Reese on the Radio. You